Thank you for tuning in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And as we study the book of Matthew in a dispensational view, we're in lesson 21. And if you have your Bibles, be turning to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of the sad countenance, for they disguise their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Once again, as we were working through the book of Matthew, you're starting to understand some things in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. He's showing the little flock what they're going to be doing over here in this tribulation period. If I can say this, that won't make you mad at me. It has nothing to do with us today. As much as we've been taught some things, you got to do this, Jesus said to do this, Jesus said that, you have to force that today to make that fit, and it won't fit today. So you think about what God is doing through Jesus Christ, which is God on this earth. He's telling the little flock right here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you have to look at this as far as coming over here in ages to come. Once again, when you fast, he says, do it unto who? The Lord, he's telling him to, and not be, you know, look down, so downtrodden with the religious duties to seek pity and glory unto men, like, oh, woe is me. What's wrong with you, brother? I'm fasting. I'm tired. You don't do that. You know, when you fast, he's telling them when they fast, you do it unto the Lord. You continue to look like who you are in a way. Now, once again, why would you fast? I heard a lot of things people say, it makes men closer to who? God, you know, all that stuff. Wait a minute. If you're saved and the Holy Spirit that raised God up from the dead, okay, dwells in the hearts of the believer, how much closer can you get? Now, I can acknowledge the fact that if and when I fast, that what it does, it deprives me of this flesh and it makes me focus more on who God is. See? Okay? Go with me if you get to Isaiah 58. The issue is what God sees, not what you and I see in each other. Okay? Again and again, it's that heart issue. And Isaiah, keep your finger there in Matthew, in Isaiah chapter 58, starting with verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. You see what's happening here? Look at me. I'm fasting. Verse 5. Isn't it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes upon him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is it not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and thou that ye break every yoke? Verse 7. It is not to deal thou bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor at the cast of thou out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. It has nothing to do with that. Okay? Go back to Matthew. Why would the people, the hypocrites, he said, don't do as hypocrites do. What is the reward in that verse 16? They have their reward. What is it?
Praise.
Praise of man. Just like where our Father without in heaven, when the Lord Jesus Christ taught the disciples to pray this, they was doing it for the Lord, not as the men do. Okay? Go down to 19. So, once again, it's a heart issue. God is telling, Jesus Christ is telling them that, hey, get your heart right, because you're going to need it when you go in this tribulation period over here. Okay? You're going to need to know a lot of things as we work down. Verse 19 through 21. Lay not yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, this is good interdispensational truth if you think about it. You know, where is your treasures laid up? Are they things on? But you know, we can lay treasures up on this earth and want this stuff on this earth, and don't it rust and corrupt? But our sights and affections are set on what? Things that are above, not things of this world. So you don't. He's telling them, don't get hung up on earthly possessions that can be stolen or rust away. Okay. Instead, set your sights. When I say your sights, I'm really meaning Israel's sights, because we're talking about Israel dispensational view. Set their sights on heavenly riches, because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Verse 22. That's the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what they should be looking for. Okay? Not things that you can see. That's a good verse for all of us, by the way. I mean, if you think about it. But yes, once again, we're looking at the book of Matthew in a dispensational view, that he's training and teaching that little flock, that remnant of believers that he pulled out of that whole nation of Israel that identified themselves with John the Baptist. That's how they got into that little flock, and also is known as a foolish nation. See, back here in Moses' day said a foolish nation. That's who the nation... See, it may sound complicated, but you got to understand that. But who's the counterfeiter in your Bible? Satan. He counterfeits everything that God Almighty does. So if you have your Bible timeline open, the fact this top line is representing true Israel. Okay? Down here on the bottom represents the Gentiles. Okay? That's anybody outside the nation Israel. Well, Satan, if you wanted to add another line somewhere in between, you could say Satan's running right along with the same type of program that God is doing, and he's done infiltrated the minds and the spirits and the physical beings of the nation Israel, and they're falling around to a apostate Israel program. Are you with me? They're not. That's why when Jesus Christ came, very few people recognized who he was. And then they got baptized by John the Baptist, and they identified himself with John the Baptist ministry, same as Jesus Christ. He identified himself with that little flock, that little remnant of believers, and he takes that little flock, and he says in Luke 12:32, it's my Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. So he takes all that kingdom program that he gave to the nation Israel in times past, and he gives it to a little flock. And they become all of Israel. You with me? They become Israel, and he starts teaching them and preaching them, and he's preparing them to go through this, what we call the tribulation period. And if they listen very well and do what God tells them, they're going to survive, okay, without their heads cut off or their arms cut off, that type of thing. So in verse 22, you go, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? The light in the body is the what? If you close your eyes a minute, are there any light? You see any light? No. It's almost like a lens. But when he talks about when you open your eyes, what you see goes down in your soul, and that becomes light. Now, we can look at some things about the focus of God's truth. Your focus, our focus, their focus should always be on God's truth. And as you focus on God's truth, either for times past, what He's doing today, or ages come, there's light that gets down in His soul, and you're able to operate on what you should be operating on. The eye will lead you to more light. If you close one eye, you're still going to get out of light. Okay? If the eye be evil, it shall lead more and more to darkness that will destroy you. The eye being single means that it has one purpose in it. Okay, not like a cyclops, you know. We're not talking about that. Your eye is a single and it has one purpose in God's Word. You remember back the three things in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6? And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. That's it. Those are the focus. The lust of the eye. And the lust of the flesh. The eye sees things. That's why when God told Israel, when you go in the land of Canaan, you destroy those pictures. And you destroy those things. You burn them. Why? Because they was filth. And your eyes would look upon it and go, and it starts sucking you into it. You know, I know people like that today. I know people like that in times past. The fact that this is what they look at, and it has literally destroyed them. Literally. Become a part of it. Okay, that's what I'm talking about destroying. You start degenerating yourself to be a part of them. And by the way, they're Canaanites. Did you remember one of the, I call them Noah's sons, that was got off the ark, was named who? Well, there's one more. Well, there's one more. If you really study your scriptures.
Jesus Christ was in the ark with him.
No, hang on a minute. He didn't sin or nothing. He didn't. I said Canaanites.
Oh, you mean Ham?
Where did Canaanite come from?
Ham.
From who? Canaan, okay? And Noah said, curseth is Canaan. So guess what? All this stuff is going on down there. That's why. All the things that Canaan got involved with wasn't good. But you got to understand some things without getting off the fact that God blessed Noah and his sons, correct? He didn't bless Canaan. So therefore, Noah could say, curseth is Canaan. He couldn't say, curses Ham, Japheth. He couldn't say that. Okay? But if you look at, on your own, do a study on your father's nakedness. That's what I want to, I'll share that with you. And I shared that with someone here, and you know, whether you believe it or not, and see why he cursed Canaan. We'll talk about it later, but let's just keep moving. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, that's why when you lust at something, you look at where? Through the eyes, and it can get down here and make your soul upset, can't it? Okay? Matthew chapter 6, 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he hath hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now we know that we cannot serve two masters, right? You either serve God or you serve the God of this world. Okay, go to James chapter 1, James chapter 1. We've got a lot of verses to go through this part. James chapter 1. Now, the book of James is a book that we call In the Ages to Come. Okay? The book of James is not written to the body of Christ. Despite whatever you've been believed, whatever you want to be taught, that was not written to you. Okay? There's a book, what's written to you today, if you believe that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, plus nothing else. He places you in a body. He gives you an apostle for you to follow. And he wrote 13 books known as Romans through Philemon. That is what we call "but now." Then he talks about catching out of here. He catches away. That leaves Hebrews through Revelation. Just as simple as that. These are called the Hebrew epistles. Now, who is Hebrews? Okay. Israel. Okay. They have a set of books to help them understand what God is doing in the kingdom program in ages to come. Much like you got a set of books that teaches you what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. They had a set of books to teach them what God was doing in His earthly ministry. They had a set in times past. They had books in Genesis through Malachi to teach them what was God's doing in the dispensation of law. Okay? That's where I believe God's a dispensationalist. He never changes, but the way He dealt with man does. Okay? But Him in His essence does not, correct? James chapter 1. Hebrew, James, Peter, John. Hebrews, James chapter 1 verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men, was it liberally? And upbraid not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, knowing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all ways. Okay, you see that? A double-minded man is what? Unstable. You can't serve two people. You can't have your mind on one thing and one on another. Today, Paul tells us to yield our members as instruments of either righteousness or unrighteousness. Well, they got to do the same over here. And if you understand the book of James is a book of reproof. He's reproofing the nation Israel because they're going to go through some bad times over here in this tribulation period. Unlike ever seen before in the history of the world or the world to come. You cannot serve. In the tribulation period, many of you know that money and possessions will be a serious issue due to the fact that you will be required to take a mark of the beast, okay, in order to buy and sell. Y'all know that. You're going to either have to partake of that merchandise. Hey, you know in Ezekiel when he talks about the king of Tyrus and the prince of Tyrus? You know who they were? They was, you know, like Satan, you know, Satan puppets, if you will. But they dealt in merchandise. And the people bought into that merchandise. Just like over here.
Yeah. Show a little light on, maybe for us to understand one thing you said back earlier. On who your heart is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're still describing.
Yes. Yeah, it is a heart issue.
You know how he simplifies that? He says, Roger, what are you rich in? I only got 46 acres. I got a house full of... You know how many years it took me to do that?
It took you a lifetime.
You know what?
For some people.
You know what? I couldn't have done that if my heart wasn't in it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in this, was it?
Nope. No, and what Roger's sharing is the fact that he
you're rich in, you give your heart to whatever you're rich in.
That's right, and your treasures, and you're right. If you know this message 45 years ago,
right.
your riches may be different today.
Be rich right
yeah.
here.
And
be a genius.
and in Christ Jesus, we already got riches. You know that spiritually. But physically, I met a lot of people like the fact that, hey, if I were 25 years ago, if I know this message, man, we'd do this. Let's keep looking. Revelation chapter 13. Revelations chapter 13. And keep your finger there in James, because we're going right back there. Revelations 13. In ages to come, Revelations 13, this is what they have to do to survive if you do this. Revelation 13, verse 16. And he caused all, this is Antichrist, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that he have a mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Okay? And in fact, that's what they had to do to live over here. James chapter 1. Once again, Matthew is showing the little flock, saying, listen, you better know where your heart is. You better know where you cannot serve God and man, because who's going to take care of them over there? God is going to take care of them. And we're going to see some things, because God took care of them when they came out of Egypt. And I said this 1,000 times, I said 1,001. That was a dress rehearsal to show what the nation Israel is actually going to do over here. They go into the wilderness, they get run from the Antichrist, they get fed, they get clothed, just like they did over there. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 26. And if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the what? World, from that religious system over there that's going to be taking place of, they need to go what? Visit the fatherless. Visit this. Okay, there's your visitation over there. But if you believe it not with a pure heart, it's vain religion.
You're working it out. Okay. You say you believe, that's what you'll be doing.
Okay. Matthew chapter 25, and stay in James. When we get through with this, one thing I want you to look at so far in the book of James, well, I'll get there in a second. James chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 25. James 2 and Matthew 25. Matthew 25, starting with verse 31 and 32 and 33, this is ages to come about the Son of Man's coming back over here. That's ages to come passages. That's second coming passages. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared to you from the foundations of the world, which for I was and hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. You know, people today is trying to force that doctrine on them, say, hey, I'm going to the prisons. I'm going out here taking care of the poor. That's nothing wrong with it. Don't get me wrong. But you do it for the right motivation. You don't do it to gain favor, for God's not talking to you right here. He's talking to that little flock over in ages to come, what they're going to go through. Verse 38, or verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hunger, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto them? That's a good question for them, because they're on this earth looking at him saying, when did we do that? Well, they didn't do it there, because the kingdom was not there. The kingdom was at hand in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Verse 40. And the king said, shall answer. See, so that should tell us something. It hadn't happened yet. Right? He shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of and least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, and unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, ye clothed me not. Sick in prison, and visit me not. Over here, that little group of people over here, somebody's going to feed them and take care of them. Okay? Then there's a group of people, he said, depart from me, I never knew you. They're believing that system of the Antichrist and didn't take care of the Jewish nation, that little flock. So they're not going to be a part of it. They believe the Antichrist system. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doeth profit, James chapter 2, verse 14. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man saith he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? Here we go with the fact, okay? Paul says faith without works. James says faith with works. Which is it? Which is it? This has nothing, what you're going to read, it has nothing to do with salvation in James chapter 2. It's going to have to do feeding that brother that's naked over there, and if you don't do it, you're not doing it by faith. When God told Paul that Abraham believed God, it was counted for righteousness, that's what you believe God, and he counts it as righteousness, you're justified. Whatever dispensation you're in. See, you cannot believe God that Abraham, if Abraham sacrificed Noah, is it truth? Isaac, is it truth? Yeah. Did God tell Adam to, you hearken unto the woman, by doing that, you're going to till the ground all the days of your life, and you're going to eat from the ground, okay? And he told Noah, go get gopher wood and build an ark. Can you take God at his word and do that today? If it does, it don't benefit you anything. You can believe God, but if you believe God that he's God over there, it don't count as righteousness today. You with me on that?
He's not talking to you.
Because he's not talking to you. You got to know who he's talking to. That's the law of language, if you will. Where did I say to go? Oh, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and is destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be ye warm and filled. And notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful in the body, what doeth it profit? You with me? That's exactly what Jesus Christ told him over here, and the book of James is a book of reproof. Let me slow down a little bit. Hebrews is a book of doctrine that they're going to take right there, much like your doctrine book today, Romans, and understand what God is doing by faith. Then the next book is James. James is a book of reproof, and he's writing to that little flock over there and saying, listen, I'm reproofing you in your behavior because you're not doing what God tells you to do. You with me? That's where the faith plus works come in. That's where they're going to have to see you feed your brother.
Yeah, your works has got to be okay. In front of your faith.
Okay? So that's what that's all about. And verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. There's where your faith and works come into. It ain't got nothing to do with salvation. It's got doing feeding that brother over in that tribulation period. You with me on that? You understand? So when we mix up James 2:24 and all that stuff, and all it is you don't understand what's going on over there. You got to understand what God is doing today, and it's faith and faith alone. they're going to be a physical, visible people over there, and they're going people have to see them or they're not going to believe it. Boy, does that ever ring a bell over here? If God wasn't with Israel, guess what they thought? God's not with us. God, show us a sign. Boom, a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire. Snakes, hands. Israel is a sign-believing people, and Paul tells us today we walk by faith, not by sight. For Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. We're nothing part of that.
Body of Christ is not even going to be around.
Not even going to be around over there. So, but once again, the principle. You see somebody hungry, and you know they're hungry. There's nothing. You know why? Because Christ is in you, and you want to do right thing. You see your brothers and sisters having a hard time. If you can help them, help them out. You do it because of love. You don't get it. You don't do it because of the rewards for salvation type of thing.
Don't forget also, okay? That what you're showing there. That's in Israel. That's in the Middle East. And we're over here. See, we only see it on TV. That's going on back right there on that mountain.
Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10. We got a lot more verses to go through. I don't know if we'll get through all these today, but Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10 is a second coming passage about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Antichrist is there, the wicked one, and a Jewish person, Israelite. Psalms chapter 10. Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou themselves in times of trouble? They're having trouble over here, and they're saying, Lord, why hide theirself? They're crying out to the Lord. Verse 2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the device that they have imagined. For the wicked boasted in his heart desire, and blessed the covenants whom the Lord abhorred. The wicked there, through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgment are far above out of his sight. For as for all his enemies, he puffed at them. He saith, he hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be an adversary. His mouth is full of cursings and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth the murder the innocent. His eyes are privately set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into the net, his net. He crouches and humble himself. The poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his faith. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God. Lift up thy hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contempt God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou behold mischief and spite to require it with thy hand. The poor commended himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. You see what's going on there? That's the poor. Who's going to be poor over there?
Israel.
Thank you. Israel. Why? They didn't take the mark. Okay? And let me ask you something about this right quick. There's other passages we can go to. For the sake of time, I'll give you, if you want to write it down, Psalms 82, verses 1 through 4, Isaiah 3, 13 and 15, Amos chapter 2, and you got to understand this, Amos chapter 2, the first two chapters of Amos describes the route that Christ is going to take in second coming. Okay, that's they're coming down. But you got to remember something, what we just shared. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. The poor. You ever notice why he mentioned the meek?
The poor
is a little flock because, once again, yes, blessed are the meek, they inherit the earth. That right here, okay? But think about this. If you lost your house today, if you lost your vehicles, you lost your job, you lost your bank account, okay? You lost the shirt off your back. That would be hard times, wouldn't it? I don't think, you know, many of us have been through some hard times. You know, and, you know, I've lost jobs, you lost jobs, you lost, you know, income and all that stuff. You know what? You learn from it, you regroup and you move on. But that would be hard times. And as I was growing up, I know those times. You know, a piece of cornbread and a bowl of brown beans was life everlasting on earth, if you will, if you know what I'm talking about. I know when I've seen people walk. But today, our kids haven't experienced that. You notice that we give our kids everything they want. Everything they want. They have no idea how to prepare themselves if they lost a job or they come and got the car or they come and got the house. They have no idea. Well, you know what they do? They run back to mom and dad. Help, help. And you sit down with them calmly, I hope, and say, okay, this is what we do. We regroup.
Edward, those things that you're reading, God talking to two different segments of Israel. The unbelieving, and the believing is the little flock. The unbelieving wouldn't feed the little flock. They're poor. And therefore, he's going to protect them and feed them and protect them during whenever that thing finally breaks loose there on them.
Yes, sir.
At that point, what do you find in the Gentile nations at that point in time? Where do you find them?
Oh, the Gentile nations are there. And they're watching. And I believe everybody's lost there, you know, in the nations back down here. Because you got to understand, in ages to come, God goes back dealing with the nation Israel. And who are they again? The circumcision, okay? And then the uncircumcision. I see the Gentiles there watching, and they can benefit by helping a Jew. That's the Abrahamic covenant. Bless those who bless you. Curse those who curse you. And I believe not only the little flock, the apostate nation Israel, supposed to take care of their unbelieving or believing brothers, the Gentiles will do that.
Well, I think what Leon's talking about there is, about the Gentiles, is God's going to call those people from the four corners of the earth and bring them back home. Literally. They're going back. There ain't going to be no room for us in there, but the joining nations have been their enemy from day one. There's a battleground drawn there on that rock. Right now, Satan set up his church on there, that dome. But whenever he calls the people back through that false prophet, they all come back. Now, we've got television, the people that's across the ocean, and we can see that. That mark of the beast is not going to be on.
Roger.
So I have to take that. That mark is going to be a spot.
Roger.
And it's not going to be six. Roger. What the Bible says it is.
Roger, hang on a minute. Yes.
You know, I'm sure you heard this eschatology. When they said they figure that most people have a chip by 2017, that's what everybody's working towards for set up the one world government. That way it'd be a lot easier. Now, I might be spiritualizing here, but I've heard that it doesn't become a mark of the beast till he becomes the beast, till Satan comes, reincarnates in the Antichrist, and he becomes the beast. Now, is that when the chip would be the mark of the beast? Because the way it's looking to me, like the chip's going to come way before.
I see what you're saying, but the thing about the chips, you hear people putting it in their hand and they're experimenting. They already got them in your dogs. You know, you lose your dog, they can find them anywhere. That don't bother me. Because what Roger was saying about we've got television stuff, that, listen, don't get caught up in that. Because God has to set up 10 nations first, and they're not set up. And out of that 10 nations, there's three horns coming up, and that ain't happened. Okay? And so you can sit and fantasize whatever's being built over there. It's not happening today. Okay?
Well, don't you think that 20 years ago.
Wait a minute. So the chip, just 1 second. The chip, what you're talking about is the fact that is that a part of setting a program up? Could it desynthesize your mind thinking, okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've got to have this mark for 25 years. But if you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, you're not even going to be a part of that economy. That's why we are called out of here and we don't come back in this. And the body of Christ.
I understand that, but I'm saying we could be all of us could get that chip even in the next 5 years, but it is not the mark of the beast.
No. No.
The mark of the beast is
a religious mark. Right. That's what people have to understand.
Well, it just told you what it was. You had to take the mark of the beast.
What sooner did you get the mark?